When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
I am happy to announce that Target Circle, the program we all know and love, now has automatic deals.
And with the all-new Target Circle being free to join, there has never been an easier way to take advantage of the most deals at Target.
When you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout, so you get the savings without lifting a finger.
And right now, you can sign up for Target Circle 360, which offers unlimited same-day delivery for just $49 for the first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day.
Visit Target.com/circle or the Target app for more details.
Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in-store or at Target.com/circle card.
What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get.
They can help you find work in any industry. With just one interview at Express, you have a connection to endless jobs.
Whether you want a contract job, a new full-time role, or a summer job, choose Express Employment Professionals.
Express has more than 860 locally owned locations and no fees for job seekers.
Visit expresspros.com today to find a location near you.
Recently, we posted on Instagram an article from an old teen magazine story about Ryder. And it says, Ryder, 100% original. And then
hard-hitting journalism, people. Mm-hmm. Hard-hitting journalism.
I learned so much about you I did not know, Ryder.
There's a beautiful picture of Ryder's face. And then above it, it says, centerfold on page 46. Okay, but here's the article. When it comes to summing up Ryder Strong, he fits into the that's the thing. He doesn't fit into any category.
Oh, yeah.
Ask Ryder the quality he likes best about himself, and he'll answer, not fitting into a stereotype is probably what I'm happiest about. Knowing himself well could also be one of Ryder's appealing qualities, because it's true. Ryder definitely doesn't fit into any particular type or warrant a neat little label. He's no cookie-cutter guy who tries to look like everyone else and say the same things everyone else does. Ryder is truly an individual, which is probably one of the qualities you like best about him, too. For starters, Ryder has a unique name. How many Ryders do you know?
Like, that has anything to do with, like
and
I
like
chose
you did that.
You chose that. You chose it. Your own category, man. You chose your name.
Oh, my God. So far, all we had is one quote where they asked me, what do you like about yourself, right? And I said, I don't know. I don't fit into a category. And that's what they ran with this whole article.
Yep.
Oh, God. And not so ordinary looks. He has that kind of boy next door, but with an edge thing going on.
Oh, yeah.
But his way of viewing the world is what really makes him stand out from the masses. Take Ryder's taste in music. Like a lot of 14-year-old guys, Ryder loves rap.
What? No!
Which you don't at all.
What? You don't at all.
Nope. Literally never in my life have I loved rap. Like I went through one phase at like 12 where I tried because everybody was getting into it and like just like, nope, not for me.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Okay. But at the same time, he's also really into classical. So, for instance, when we asked him to tell us,
never like really enough.
Not into it. No,
no.
You don't mind it.
We
went through a phase on boy too, where we listened to
classical
music together.
I've been to instrumental music in different periods, but like not like oh, you know, a big Chopin guy or Chopping. Like, I've never...
Chopping.
Yeah.
So, for instance, when we asked him to tell us his favorite song, he picked, no, not the latest by Snoop Doggy Dogg.
No.
But a little Baroque number called Cannon in D, which was...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you love Pachelbel. You did.
Yeah, there was a CD called... Cannon and D Variations, and it was just... Did you that give
song,
it to me,
Will? I gave it to you. It was that song like nine different ways.
Nine different ways. Yes. It was so cool. So it was because of you? I thought it was because of you. I had this CD, and it had just like a bunch of versions, and they were cool because like some of them were like modern synthy, some of them were like really classical. And you could... I think I just loved the idea of different versions of song. I always loved that.
It's like one was on like a harpsichord. Yeah, one was on... Yeah, it was
really
great.
Cool. Variations. Yeah, it was a good album. Find that. But I definitely had my favorite version. It was track two.
Was that the classical one? Like it was almost like the Ferris Bueller one?
It was Snoop Dogg.
No, there was one that it was like... I think it had like a really... It had like a more... It had like an electronic music background. Like there was a... Like, I don't know. I'm going to find this, man.
Yeah, you got to find it.
It was... My favorite track was either two or three on that CD.
That's right. Well, no, it's a great song. If it ain't Baroque, don't fix it. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
One thing Ryder doesn't like is listening to music just because everybody else says it's cool, which is one reason you won't find Counting Crows on his CD player.
All things for them
what?
To pick.
They picked your favorite band.
I know. It's so weird. Like, they must have just not talked to me and just decided to pick whoever was the top of the charts at that week or whatever. But they literally... And then, like, that I like rap. But, and then...
You wonder if this was part... Do you remember doing any of this interview, or was it just...
There's not an interview here. They pulled a quote. Like,
that's what
know.
I mean. So, but they didn't call you for this to say,
well,
like...
Like I said, I used to do interviews with these magazines. The first two seasons of Boy, I did a bunch of these interviews.
Yeah.
And they would sit with me, or they would stop me at like events with a tape recorder and ask me like five questions really quick, and I just answer them. Or we'd do photo shoots, and then they'd be like, hey, could you go talk to so-and-so in the corner? Yeah. And I wouldn't realize even that it was like an interview, but they'd be recording it. And then like they'd write 10 articles out of one interview. I mean, this isn't... I just don't understand. Like, it's so weird to think about. What is the point of these articles or these magazines, right? It's like, who are they? It's like it's catering to teenage girls.
Well, this is social media.
Yeah,
this is the 90s social media. That's all this is. Get to know you. It's the stuff that other people now put up themselves, like their favorite playlist and stuff like that. But we weren't doing that back in the day. So this
I'd like
your Twitter page.
The end of it, which says his willingness to make like a full on goofball in public. And then, quote, I'm constantly pretending to bang into doors and making people think I hurt myself.
I still have a desire to do that every time I open a door in front of somebody. Like, there's part of me that was so used to doing the face slam trick.
Yep.
Yeah. You did really it good. Really well, though.
Oh, you were really good at it.
I still freak
out.
I
really
can
good
get
at that.
Indie every once in a while. Yeah.
All this individuality makes Ryder one strofty bright guy. Strofty bright being Ryder's own what else but unique word meaning cool. Wow. The end.
Oh.
Yeah, you're right. It's similar to social media. Yeah, so interesting. I had no idea what I was getting into when I talked to those magazines.
No.
You know, like Ben just never did any of them, right? Like he never did a single one. And so never had
He didn't, did he?
No,
was he ever in those?
His parents said no. And I guess they had gone through it with Fred maybe to a certain degree, or just decided that it wasn't classy enough. Like that there was something.
I didn't even realize that. You're right. He never did these, did he?
No, whereas like the three of us were like, who wants to interview us? Mom,
yeah, right.
Sure, who cares? Because we just were like, this is fun. This is cool. This is what being an actor is. Until I was like 15 or 16. And then I was like, I don't know if this is...
I don't want to do these.
Well, you also went to the next level, though. You were one of the Tiger Beat kids that literally like a Jonathan Taylor Thomas, where you then go to another
level. But sure.
But still, I mean, you were probably one of the top two or three for a couple years, I would imagine. So that was a whole different thing.
Right, but
by
it
that
wasn't,
point.
You know, there's so not a good thing. Like it was not good for your acting. You know, if anything, it diminished your standing within the industry as an actual actor, because it was like, oh, you are,
you know,
essentially to a male, like equivalent to a male model. Like, it's like, oh, you're appealing to this side of your career as opposed to, you know, any sort of artistic or expressive, you know.
It's interesting.
It's a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Welcome to Pod Meets World. I'm Danielle Fishel.
I'm Ryder Strong.
And I'm Will Friedle.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Today, we are recapping Season 4, Episode 15, Chick Like Me!
Famous episode.
I can't
believe
we've made it here. It originally aired January 31st, 1997. The synopsis: in order to get a better understanding of how girls think, Corey and Topanga disguise Sean as a girl and set him up on a date. Also, Eric teaches a coworker how to attract a man. It was directed by Jeff McCracken. It was written by Steven Hibbert. And did you guys have any overall thoughts before I jump into our guest star cast?
Yeah, I mean, I've always known that this was a pretty legendary episode. You know, it's infamous for obviously the big set piece. But I always remembered it as a very well-written episode. And sure enough, it still struck me as perfectly structured, incredibly well-written, funny. I loved it. I think this is top five Boy Meets World episode for me.
I said the same thing last night. I think this is in my top five favorite Boy Meets World episodes.
Yeah.
I think it has all the, you know, exactly what we've talked about with the right balance between really funny laugh out loud moments and yet a very poignant, relevant, great topic.
Yeah.
I thought the A story was amazing. The B story was completely unnecessary. I wish it wasn't in the episode and it was all just the three of you together with your storyline, because it was wedged in. It was completely not needed in any way, shape, or form. Because
it
was,
it does buttress the theme, right? Of, yeah, like, men,
but
women,
it was
and,
just
like,
yeah, it was weird. It was weird. I just wish they just stuck with you guys because it was so good watching that. And then it ended. It seemed like it ended very abruptly. Like the show just kind of the show just kind of ended. And so if they didn't do the B story, I think they could have flushed out your storyline more because I loved it and I wanted to see more. I just wanted to see more of that. Frankly,
you don't think it went out? Like, I mean, I punch a guy.
No, I know. But then it's like you just kind of turn and walk towards the camera and it freeze frame. And it was like, that's it. Like, I thought there was going to be some kind of wraparound,
I mean, I end up with the girl like, respecting it.
I felt like it just that scene is specifically just kind of ended for me.
Actually meant your B storyline ended abruptly.
Well, that never really started.
It was
weird. No,
it's just kind of a conversation between two characters.
Yeah.
I don't know. It didn't bother me. I mean,
it didn't bother me. I just didn't think it was necessary. I would love to have just seen the whole, this could have been one of the weeks where I wasn't in the show and it was just your storyline because I thought your storyline was great. Thoroughly enjoyed the episode all the way around. I wish there was more of it, frankly. Really well written and really well acted. You guys were all, even the crazy, like Ben, being the crazy zany Cora and all that stuff.
It's so funny.
It's so great.
So funny that it is just, and you have to suspend belief with the kind of nobody recognizes you guys really, but I had no problem doing that. It was just fun all the way around. And it's an important lesson. I mean, it really is. Yeah.
Really well done. So guest starring Ryan Biddle as Gary. He's a Juilliard grad who played Todd Wilkins on over 40 episodes of Sweet Valley High and was seen on Seventh Heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is so good in this episode. And like, I think so much of this episode works because of him, you know?
Yeah.
He's like the perfect, he's the perfect slime ball.
Yes, he is.
And like, you know, to his credit, like, I mean, these are, it's to have to like just commit to, you know, basically being on a date with a guy, like it's so fun.
Yeah.
And he does. I remember.
And you buy it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember like it totally enjoying working with him and like having it and watching it back. I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. Like, yeah.
He was straight up cut from like the 80s bad guys, you know, Johnny from the Karate Kid kind of look. Yeah. It was great. It was great.
Yeah, and then we have Katie Wright as Debbie. You may know her from The Wonder Years, Malibu Shores, Melrose Place, or the movie Idle Hands. She is married to actor Hank Azaria and is now a family therapist.
Cool.
Yeah, thought that was pretty cool. And then we have Jennifer Campbell, who returns as Lonnie. And this is, unfortunately, her last episode, 3 of a 3-episode arc. A common moment of departure, it seems, for some of our guest stars.
I wonder if that's actually contractual. Like you do, you know,
three episode arc.
Yeah.
But then why end the storyline the way we did, where it's like, man, what did I just do? Like we're setting it up to where now she's going to friend zone me. I mean, something and then never comes back. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
We are barely in this wilderness store, by the way. We built this set. In my head, we were in the wilderness store all the time.
In the wilderness store a lot.
But not as much as I remember. I remember this being in like every episode. Right.
It has been in episodes. It's just they're shorter scenes.
Yeah, they don't really maybe that's what it is.
Reference the wilderness store that much. So you would have been spending your time there, right?
That's like, what I'm saying. Right. You're only in the wilderness store. So your
maybe
entire
what
week
it is.
Was in the wilderness store.
That's why it must feel like it's such a big part of it. Yeah, that's got to be that.
Yours,
you're right.
You know, it's like yours and Rusty's.
Yeah, that's I think you're right.
So this is her last episode, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we've got Mark Arnold as Dave. He's got almost 150 credits to his name, including Teen Wolf.
Yes. Teen Wolf. We talked to him all week about Teen Wolf. We were just peppering him with questions all week about Teen Wolf.
A legend.
We used to quote that movie constantly on the set. So when he walked on, we saw him at the table read. You and I stopped. We were like, it's a bad guy from Teen Wolf. It's a bad guy from Teen Wolf. It was so much fun talking to him about everything.
Yes.
He's also, Teen Wolf, he also, like Gary in this episode, has that perfect, like, dude, like, alpha dude.
Oh, yeah. He looks like he's 40 years old as the bad guy in the basketball team in Teen Wolf. It's so great.
He was also in Justice League, Blade Runner 2049, and 52 episodes of a 1985 show called Santa Barbara. Also, I have been reminded that when Hillary Tuck was on the show, she said she was only allowed to do 3 episodes because after that, it would be considered a recurring guest star role.
That's right. She said that, didn't she?
And so, okay.
There you go. So they just cut it off. They were just like,
can't do it.
Yeah. Unless the network or the whole team was willing to commit to a bigger payday.
It also makes me wonder how much they were trying to get around that by having people come back as different characters. If they were like, look, if we name them something different, we can say they'd only done one episode. But
no, because Hillary was different characters. So.
I know, that's what I'm saying. But I wonder if they were thinking, like, let's name her something different. Maybe we can get around it by naming them different things. Because it does seem weird that, like, if you have the same person play 3 different characters, it still counts as a recurring guest role, even though those characters have still only done one episode. You know what I mean?
And you also, I guess my question then, especially with Lonnie, is you know this is her last episode. Why not wrap it up where she leaves? Why isn't the B storyline, I'm leaving Eric, I got a powerful need to go home or something like that?
I don't know if they would have known that it's her last episode. I think maybe, you know, they could have been hoping to convince the network to give them more money for there's always this tension between the production budget and the realities of the creative whims of the writing staff.
Right.
And the writing staff might have been like, we love Lonnie, we want to bring her back. And then they're looking at the budget and saying, well, then you can't have this set,
right?
Or you can't have this trip to Disney World, or whatever the considerations are. It's a constant conversation. And, I wouldn't be surprised if the writers were hoping to leave it open a little bit.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So jumping into our recap, we start on our credits, and then we are in the school hallway. Corey proudly opens the school newspaper to show Sean his very own column. Also, I noticed here that the back reads Patriot Sports, which means we are most likely
the Patriots.
Yep. Did you guys notice our eyebrows?
Yes, no. I did. That's what it is. I said I wrote down something strange with your faces, but I didn't know what it was. It's Ben eyebrows.
They decided because during the week we did makeup tests to become the women, like the girl characters, and they plucked both of our eyebrows.
That's what it was.
And so it's so funny to watch when we start the episode. We have like
manicured eyebrows,
especially for me. Like I've. Gigantic eyebrows. And like, even back then I had bushy eyebrows. And so, so they're like super thin and like, and I was like,
that's what I said. I didn't know what it was. I was like, what is, what's different?
You can really see it in the classroom when I'm like leaning forward to Corey. I'm like, what is going on?
My eyebrows are like, I didn't notice.
Oh, I totally did. It's like, what the hell is different? Yeah.
Wow.
That's so funny.
Well, we also should have noticed all of the trash cans say Patriots. Don't ask me how we've missed this all this time. But
just because we're staring at the blood drive sign all the time or the pep rally sign. Yeah,
that's exactly right. So Sean reads the headline. Is it just me? Corey nudges him to read on. Is it just me or does paste not taste as good as it used to? Corey laughs. Isn't that so true? Sean breaks the news.
I love this bit, by the way. I love the idea that this is what Corey would think.
He's writing a bad comedy column.
And like, come on. Like, I
also love that we have made so many Seinfeld references on the show that now they've just taken the, like, what does Seinfeld do? He notices every man things.
What's the deal with?
What's the deal with? Yeah. And so this is Corey's. I just, it's so funny. Isn't it true? Is it just me? It's just so funny to me.
Yeah.
So Sean breaks the news. I know you really believe in your little humor column, but don't you think you should be writing something more important? Like the girls' swim team and why they don't wear high heels, which I thought was a funny Sean thing to say. And then Topanga walks down the hall with her good bestest friend, Debbie, we know so much about. Yeah. Lots of backstory.
Deb, come on.
She hangs out with
Deb.
Trini.
Yeah. Yeah, Debbie's also there too.
Trini, Debbie, Topanga.
Where the women go.
Yeah,
so there's another restaurant in town.
So she comments, Gary took you to Le Chardonnay. It's really expensive.
There you go. That's the other restaurant.
Chardonnay. They might as well just call it Le French Restaurant.
Exactly.
Le Chardonnay.
Le French Restaurant is great.
Debbie laughs. Yeah, I know. It was great. The date was going great, but at the end of the night, he parked 2 blocks from her house and Topanga angrily folds her arms. Octopus time. On cue, Gary walks past the girls and turns to Debbie. He says he had a really nice night the other night and adds a little laugh before walking away. Debbie finishes her story. All over me. What happened to the nice guy I had dinner with? All guys are jerks on dates. Topanga corrects her. Not all guys, Debbie. Corey, who's listening nearby, puts his hand to his chest. He knows she's talking about him. Sean bursts his bubble. Is it just me, or should you not be proud of that?
Sean has some lessons.
Got some learning to do.
Yeah.
Corey wipes the smile off his face and tries to act cool. Debbie, who I just noticed in this moment, has a very cool jungle-themed trapper keeper. Her folder is a
nice,
awesome time capsule from the 90s. Just absolutely amazing. She's continuing to talk to Topanga. After a night of fighting them off, I don't know if I want to go on dates anymore. She jokes she'd rather spend her nights at the library. It's that pathetic. Topanga agrees. Guys and girls have such a different idea of what a date is supposed to be. Debbie wonders what goes on in guys' heads, and Topanga motions towards Corey and Sean. Want to find out? There's two of them. So Debbie asks Corey and Sean what goes on in their heads, and Corey immediately answers, Topanga. 24 hours a day, it's the Topanga channel in here. Topanga hands him a treat. What a good boy. Corey giggles at the reward. Sean asks, don't you think that guys and girls are looking for the same things on dates? Debbie tells him what girls are looking for, a good conversation and a good sense of connection. Sean wonders, you're not interested in making out? And Debbie responds, maybe I am and maybe I'm not, but it shouldn't be expected. Sean argues, then how are we supposed to know what's okay? Debbie ensures him they'll let the boy know, but usually boys don't listen. They're too busy planning their next move to hear their date say no. Sean, who, of course, wasn't listening, asks,
attention.
What?
This is great dialogue.
So great.
This is really good because it is also genuinely the boy asking the girl, how am I supposed to know? And don't you want the same things? And it's like, well, it shouldn't be expected. It's just really, really smart dialogue all the way around.
It's really smart because I love that they didn't make it seem like, of course, girls aren't interested in making out. It's like, actually, I might totally want to make out with you, but I'll let you know.
I didn't love the exposition getting to like the debate between Sean and Debbie, but once Sean and Debbie get into it, I like it. Like that's when I was like, oh, because all this, the preamble of like setting it up, it was just felt like expositional setup. But once we get into this argument, I was like, this is cool.
Yeah, the conversation
is
great.
This is a real conversation, and yes, she is given so much good like argument. You know, she is provided with like it's so great. She's not a foil. She's actually like has a point of view and is nuanced, and it's a good argument. Like, it's a good debate that people can still have. Do you know
she's
what I mean?
Different than a lot of the way that the girls are written on the show. Yeah. She came in with her own point of view. Like, you knew this girl right away. It was great. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, I really liked that conversation.
Corey points out, this is why I write my funny column, to take us away from the drudgery of interesting conversation.
I'm sorry, but the only thing I was thinking about during the beginning part of the scene was how... And I get why they couldn't do it for Girl Meets World, but how interesting
is going to be.
What my next what? What? No. How interesting Corey would have been had he been a journalist instead of being a teacher.
I forgot how much they set that up.
Yes, and I know they had to do it because they needed the new Mr. Feeny, and they did it for Girl Meets World. But Corey as a journalist, I think, could have been a really interesting way to go.
It makes a lot of sense, actually.
Topanga counters that he should be writing about something that affects people. Debbie agrees. Corey should write a column about why guys are such big jerks on dates. Sean asks, if this is how she feels about guys, why even go on dates at all? She contemplates for a second, then agrees. You're right. I'm done. Topanga watches her walk away. Way to be sensitive, Sean. Sean rolls his eyes. Really pays to be honest with a girl, then slams the newspaper into Corey's chest as everyone storms away. Corey, now alone in the hall, says aloud, is it just me? Or is it just me? And then we are in Feeney's classroom. Feeney is lecturing about the book Black Like Me, written by John Howard Griffin,
luckily, we have a black background actor for one of the first times in the classroom.
I noticed that, too. They had to.
There are two.
You can't really
two black
have this scene. Yep. I mean, but it's just like, what? Okay. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, producers of Boy Meets World, because you know somebody looked out and was like, they're talking about Black Like Me. We should probably not have an all Lily White cast.
Philadelphia.
In Philly.
Philadelphia.
At a public school in Philadelphia, all white people, not an African-American in the place until then we talk about Black Like Me. I will say it's always nice with the book reference. There's something very comforting
so
about Feeny teaching a book that's going to have something to do with the show. Just very classic boy. I love it every time.
So the white man, John Howard Griffin, had his skin temporarily darkened so he could experience life through the perspective of a black man. Corey wonders, while seated next to those two black background actors who have no lines, wouldn't it have been easier to just ask?
And one of the guys in the background like shakes his head.
He's like, yeah, he does.
I love it. It's a good reaction. It's like, like, shut up, yeah. Guy.
I know. It's so funny. Feeney explains there was so much distrust between the races, Griffin felt that he could only understand segregation if he experienced it himself. Sean, then hit with an idea, says this should be Corey's next story. To understand girls, Corey needs to experience the world from a girl's point of view by becoming one. Corey scoffs, that's crazy talk. But Sean insists, no, you dress up like a girl and write about it. Chick like me. Sean says it would be a meaningful article, not just some silly column. Corey argues, it's not a silly column. Feeney, who apparently has been listening the whole time, chimes in, yes, it is. Which I love. Corey asks Feeney what happened to Griffin after he wrote his book, and Feeney responds, he sold 5 million copies and won immediate world renown. Why do you ask, Mr. Matthews? Corey corrects him, Miss Matthews. Sean and Corey grin mischievously. The plan has begun.
And then doesn't Feeney say, like, what? Or he, like, I'm like, didn't he hear the whole conversation? If he's able to jump in, he would have heard the whole thing.
He's over a foot away.
Yeah.
We know how sound works. Hearing. Yeah, the sound works on this show. If you're over a foot away, is 50-50 whether you're going to pick it up.
Story.
Exactly.
Bingo. Thank you.
If your back is facing, you can hear everything.
Right.
Then that person is overhearing.
Yeah, or if they're behind me, aren't they? That's the other thing.
That's another time when that works. Yes.
That works then, too.
And then we're at the Wilderness store. Eric is price tagging items behind the counter while Lonnie's rattling off some selling points for an available tent. But the male customer just stares back at her and says, in the tone of a local peeping Tom, I'll remember who sold it to me. Lonnie loves to hear that. I hope you do. That way you can remember me for all your future wilderness needs.
I'm making really bizarre faces in the background.
Are you?
I'm doing some serious facting. Bizarre faces. Yes, that's bizarre. Bizarre. Like, wow, bizarre. But yeah, there's some serious facting going on.
Wow, I didn't notice.
I didn't notice either.
There's a wow. That's bizarre and wow. We both get them.
We got them.
But yes, it's really... Just trying to put it all out there on my face when I have no lines.
Oh, speaking of, I forgot to mention, did you guys notice the cake face in the previous scene?
Yes, he does cake face again.
Corey does cake face, and it would have been written into the script. I forget what the exchange is, but he's in the classroom, and he gives cake face.
It's at the end. It's how he ends the scene, where it's like Miss Matthews.
Right, and then I think Feeney says something back to him, like questioning him, and then he does this cake face.
He does cake face. Yep.
And it would have been in the script at that point.
Corey does
it becomes
cake
such
face,
a
right.
thing. Yeah.
Oh, I've got to find these. Well, I'll find these drafts.
So you were making some weird faces.
That's it. It was just to go back and watch really strange faces in the background. That kind of had nothing to do with what they were.
But truth be told, what you have to do something. You know they're cutting to you for reaction shots.
I'm just in the background going like,
Oh, man.
It's a lot of acting.
A lot of acting.
This is a bummer. Like, I think that this storyline could have been done. Like, the idea that she is not great with men, and in particular city men, or like more sophisticated Philadelphia men without southern accents, that's actually a cool storyline.
But it's so
absurd. I feel sorry for this actress because it's so ridiculous that she literally can't.
I know.
And they have to push it so far.
Yeah.
I'm like, why not find the nuanced version, especially in a script that does have such nuance in the argumentation in the other side, you know, in the A storyline, it's wonderful. And everybody's given good arguments, well, besides Gary, maybe, but like everybody has a cool point of view. And I think that, this one just, it didn't work. And I just don't know why it had to be such a joke. It could have been great. Like, what if Eric and her, like, really, like, what if dating advice really was something that Eric could give and that, you know, rather than it just being what ends up being a physical joke, like she touches him and he gets turned on.
I mean, he very easily could have given her such good advice. She immediately has a boyfriend and he's like,
right. And then he's like, what did I do? That? Exactly. Yeah.
Like I could have had her all to myself if I had just let her keep, you know, like, so Anyway, the guy then nervously asks, you probably get this a lot, but would you want to get a cup of coffee sometime? Lonnie admits she's not much of a coffee drinker and the man takes the hint, but Lonnie perks up. We could do something else. He then quickly responds, slightly desperate, anything. That would be great.
Lonnie says, why don't you come over to my place and I'll cook you a big old dinner. How about tonight?
We could wrestle.
That would be wow. Lonnie smiles and hits him in the shoulder, a la what she did to Eric.
Yeah, she punched. She's a puncher. Yep.
And after dinner, that's when the real fun starts. He's a bit taken aback, but still says, I'm always up for a little fun. Lonnie tells him the plan. We'll rub oil all over our bodies. He nods. I like that. She continues, go jumping in the cold river and go eel grabbing. He's caught off guard, but Lonnie's excited. It's so fun for the eels, too. Well, unless their heads break off.
And there's a river in Philly?
Mm-hmm. You've never been to Eel River? Yeah. Very eel well known.
Eel grabbing river
spot. the eel grabbing hollow. It's down by the creek. You've never been? Oh, it is Philadelphia. Nobody knows outdoors like Philadelphia.
Oh, my God. She punches him in the arm again. Now it stings. She asks what time tonight, and he backs away. Tonight's really not good for me. I've got another appointment, which actually doesn't involve eels. She jokes, where's your sense of adventure? He responds, I'll just take the tent, establishing she is not hot enough for eel grabbing. We've hit the line.
So the best women are men, but not too much.
Not too eel grabbing.
He changes his mind. You know what? You keep the tent. What I'm going to do is leave. He darts out and Lonnie calls after him. I was just trying to be friendly. Lonnie hangs her head and asks Eric if something is wrong with her. Eric,
you get a big aw from the audience, too. Aw.
My favorite.
Yeah,
I know.
Yes. Ryder loves
it. When it happened.
I did, too. And I was like, okay, Ryder's right in this sense. There is no need for that aw no whatsoever
need for that. Nope.
In any way, shape, or form for this
one. It's always an aw because it's our second or third take. Yep. The audience knows that they're supposed to feel the story point. So they contribute. And it's like.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's true.
It never feels like earnest. It never feels honest.
Right.
It always feels like. The obligatory let the audience help tell you the story.
Right. Now I get it.
Lonnie hangs her head and asks Eric if something is wrong with her. Eric is scanning her up and down, not saying anything. She asks again and he explains, I'm looking. She wonders, why am I always scaring boys off? Eric asks, you don't have a lot of social experience with men, do you? She says, no, not with city men at least. He asks if she dated any guys up in the mountains and she says, sure, we'd go out to the woods and shoot things. Well, when you see a cute little fuzzy animal that you like, and I love, Will, that you were able to fit in there a sense that you don't really like hunting.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. I do, that you want to, you see a cute animal that you want to, you know, kill.
Oh, yeah. It's a great one.
It's great.
And this whole little like run, I do really like, you know, like yes. They didn't need to be
potential.
As much of a cartoon
right.
For you
exactly.
To say this speech, which is really funny. Yeah.
Totally.
And it also, you're right. It absolutely had potential to be a possible good, earnest storyline. It's also Eric could have gone the route of, okay, I can tell she's not interested in me, but she's miserable being alone. Maybe I really can't help as a friend. Mm-hmm. You know, you could have gone that route too. And it just, instead, you're right. It just wanted to end with her looking for a tag and me getting turned off.
Sneaky ensorcelment.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
It's like
elixir. Yeah. It's slipping the elixir of the magical. It's like, come on. Wait, just it could have been cool to just be a friend in this moment.
Yeah. It's interesting they never decided to have Eric actually, like, all you do, you flirt with her, you pine after her, but, like, you don't actually make the, like, it would have been interesting if Eric actually fell for Lonnie or, like, pursued a real relationship. They always just kind of go for the joke and the sex thing, which.
They never did in seven seasons with Eric. They never once had him pursue an actual relationship.
Well, I thought the singled out episode sort of ended with a pretty positive, like.
Yeah, positive
a
for
like,
him.
Oh, Eric's going to actually like this person and take him seriously. Yeah.
And I think hopefully down the line, there's one or two other guest stars
even
where that happens too.
But pretty. Oh, I guess the point is that you were shallow. But you were pursuing her in a real way, whereas this is just like.
Right.
That's my Eric, by the way.
No respect.
Eric wants to know, when you see a cute little fuzzy animal that you want to shoot, do you go running up to it, yelling and waving your rifle in the air? Eric asks. Lonnie laughs. No, because it'll scare the critter off. Ah, she's figured out her problem. You're saying my behavior is scaring these city men. Eric whispers, just a smidge. Lonnie realizes she needs to learn to hunt and track these boys, but she's going to need a city man to practice on. Eric lets out a goofy giggle as she stares at him. And then we're in the Matthews kitchen. Alan appears to be doing taxes. He's like got a calculator and who knows what business he's got on the table.
It's wilderness store business.
It's wilderness store receipts.
That's true. Yeah. The receivable and payable. All
yes,
that stuff.
Exactly.
We
got a big shipment of tents that week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Corey and Sean walk in holding bags from Samantha's Secret. Alan asks Corey how his day was, but Corey quickly blows by him and heads to the stairs. Alan yells, "Hold on. Every day I ask you what you did, and every day you tell me nothing. We both know something happened today, and I want to know what it is." Corey sighs. "I decided to be a girl." Alan stares at him blankly. "You taught me a very valuable lesson there, son." Sean asks Amy, "You know the book Black Like Me?" A stressed Alan butts in, "Don't ask any questions, honey." Sean explains, "Corey's going to write Chick Like Me for the school newspaper. He's going to experience life through a girl's point of view by dressing up as a girl." And we reveal Corey holding up a cute red mini dress. Alan admits, "No, don't want you to." Amy defends it. "It's a wonderful learning experience. It could serve him well for the rest of his life." And Corey holds up another dress. Amy pulls out a bra out of another shopping bag, and Corey explains, "It's a miracle bra." Alan sarcastically says, "It's a miracle bra, honey. Get a camera." Corey details, "I'm not dressing up like a girl just for the sake of dressing up like a girl. I'm a journalist, dagnabbit." And the dagnabbit is the...
Dagnabbit.
Dagnabbit is the line. Yeah, it's the line reading that I was...
Let me ask you guys something. Do you find cross-dressing funny?
It was supposed to be very funny back then. Like, I mean, you think about, you know, Mrs. Doubtfire and... But
right. Did you ever find it funny? I mean...
It depends on what you're, I mean, there was an interesting way to do it. Like I go, my head instantly, when you asked that, went to Kids in the Hall, where the kids in the hall, they were just doing
sketches where they would be the female characters.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so you mean the actual idea of cross-dressing.
A male character having to, you know, I mean, Some Like It Hot is the ultimate example.
Or
I
Bosom
guess,
Buddies.
It's just funny because I remember when we did this episode, you know, obviously so many of the jokes is look at these guys, in a dress, or look at these guys being women. And I just remember being like, I never found that funny. Like I didn't find Mrs. Doubtfire that funny. I just never was like, what's the joke? And it's an interesting thing. I mean, some people still love it, right? I think it still kind of works. Like that's the point of drag, is like a sort of performative, like gender performance that is transgressive in a way, right? Like I am crossing a boundary. You know that I'm a man. I am dressing as a woman to like get a laugh or a joke. And yeah, I'm so curious. Like I remember not finding that funny back then, but it was such a standard joke. It was saying you always had an episode of almost every show where a male character did this. And then like, you know, I feel like there's a million Eddie Murphy movies where he's in a dress, you know, or somebody's, it's like.
You can go back to some incredible films, like you said, Some Like It Hot, or Tootsie is another great example of, I think it depends on what the character's doing and what the character's learning as they're doing that. Like, again, like exactly what you're doing in Chick Like Me, exactly what Sean is doing. There's jokes wrapped into the story of what you're actually learning by doing
this. That's
the
good version, definitely.
Right, exactly. The Tootsie version.
Right, but I feel like on the surface, the humor often is, oh my God, that's a dude in a dress, right? Like, that's the joke. It's like to just laugh at, like, this guy we know, you know? I just remember, like, literally doing it and being like, why is this funny? Like, I don't know if this is... And I just always, it's never struck me as a joke. I don't know.
Well, it's even worse, actually, if you take it to the level that it is, because we do it again. Jack and I do it again in a later episode where it's not only being a girl, it's that it doesn't work because you're a quote unquote ugly girl.
Yeah.
So that's where it is. It's not. It's
I don't
like,
remember that episode being as successful as Chick Like Me.
Because you learned something in Chick Like Me. There was a point to it. That's the whole idea.
What's so great about this episode is that it takes the joke, the sort of superficial, immediate joke of cross dressing, and takes it to a place where it's like, oh my gosh, everybody's learned something and experienced something, and that's great.
Our episode with Jack and Eric that do that, just cross-dressing for the sake of the joke. Right. Nothing is learned. Right. Nobody grows as a person.
Right.
It is simply the joke of I look ugly in a dress. That's it. Right. It's the tale of two things on the same show. It's the tale of what you can do and what you shouldn't do. Right. And I know that people love the episode where I dress up like a woman because they think it's funny. And if you can put that aside, that's all it is. But nobody grows or learns anything.
Maybe a lot of people really do find it. I mean, it's a trope, right?
It is. Well, it's also been around for
a dress is a, whereas like the reverse isn't quite as funny. Like a girl dresses a guy is not it's not as transgressive and hysterical and like, but anyway, there's just something about 20th century American culture that loved guys in dresses.
Yeah, because this also, joke. Women were not allowed to act at all back in the Elizabethan age. So it was all, it was, the men were playing all the women too.
But that's different.
But
that's
it wasn't a joke. That's
joke.
What I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it wasn't a joke. That was, they were actors playing a role, which is why when you get Dustin Hoffman in Tootsie, he's an actor playing a role that harkens back to that time on stage, like, you know, like Shakespearean.
Right. Again, it's a story where the cross-dressing is like a funny fact outside of, you know, it's not the point. Whereas I feel like the point of Corey pulling out a bra and the audience going, is like, oh my God, we're going to see, you know, a man wearing a bra.
Boy in a bra.
And it's like, isn't that hysterical?
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Podmeets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago, and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Well, then Topanga walks in and tells Sean she may have been a bit protective of Debbie this morning, preventing her from fully considering his point of view. Sean proudly exclaims, "I never knew I had a point of view." Corey says everything's worked out for the best because he's decided to be a girl and see what it's really like. Topanga frowns. Not in that dress, you're not. Corey was counting on her expert assistance to help in selecting the proper female accoutrement. Topanga asks, "You want me to dress you up like a girl?" Corey smiles. "Yeah, Topanga, make Corey pretty." Topanga responds, "Cool." I like it. It was the cool of Danielle. Cool.
It was.
Yeah.
I also like that they had Topanga coming in and the first thing she's doing is apologizing to Sean for not listening to his point of view. Like, it's a good moment between the two of you. She's like, you know what? I might have dismissed you too fast this morning.
Exactly. And I think it's also a nice acknowledgement that, you know, truthfully, there is another side to this that deserves hearing as well. Like, right. Maybe we're having miscommunications, and part of it's because I wasn't listening to you.
Yeah. And so, Sean has also already come, you know, he's come up with this project in response to walking away from the debate and saying, let's do this project. Let's
actually explore this. It's a very mature.
It is.
Mature for, all the characters.
Yep.
So then we do a kind of optical flip to Corey's room. We haven't seen it for a while. Mm-hmm. We get a nice look at the parking meter piggy bank that we remembered from season one. Topanga and Sean are waiting patiently for Corey outside the bathroom when Topanga shouts, "Sweetie, you have to come out eventually." Corey groans, "Don't wanna, second thoughts." Topanga promises they won't laugh. Corey assures them, "You're not seeing what I'm seeing." Sean reminds Corey he's going to make a difference in the lives of guys and girls everywhere. Corey reiterates, "You're not seeing what I'm seeing." Sean asks, "How bad a girl could you be?" And then Corey walks out of the bathroom wearing a brown wig, bright red lipstick, a giant bra underneath a relatively tight dress, brown tights, white high heels, and long fake nails. It is a very committed costume. And I want to go on record as saying, I don't think he looks that bad.
No.
I don't think he looked that bad either.
Well, I mean, the irony here is that at the end of the episode when he's Korra, he's actually the most convincing female, the most, way more convincing than I think I am.
Yes.
And his performance is so great. Like, so the Korra character is like, oh, yeah. Like, I feel like I've actually met women that talk and look like that. And Ben is so good at. So the idea that Corey can't do it here, I never quite understood. I remember even when we were filming it being like,
yeah,
but then he shows up as Korra. Why did he choose to do Korra? And he does it so well. I don't know. It's weird. Yeah. But I guess they just needed, again, the joke of like, guy in a dress. And that, but Ben is very funny in this scene.
So funny.
I think he sells it by playing it as a stressed out woman, which is really fun. You know, like his mannerisms and like, I think I look fat and like the way he holds his nails and like all of that. But it's also, that's all very meta. Like, why would Corey be acting like that?
Right.
If he's uncomfortable being dressed as, but it's funny. Whatever.
It's very funny.
Do you think he didn't button up? There's like two or three of them.
I noticed that too. Was that a choice?
I know. Well, they had to make him. That's the thing. They had to like overstuff his bra and make it awkward.
And he's disheveled. And,
We had to set up the storyline to get me and
I couldn't tell if that was a choice or not. I guess it was.
Yeah. So Topanga can hardly look at him. And Sean admits, okay, bad. Corey asks how bad. And Sean tells him, bad, bad. Corey sighs, I knew it. I look fat. Sean says, fat is the least of your problems, baby. Topanga wonders, maybe it's just not a good color for you. Corey's upset, and he runs back toward the bathroom. Topanga and Sean grab him. She's confident they can do this. It's all about how you present yourself. Topanga encourages him to show it off. So Corey gathers himself and starts strutting with some sass. He snaps his hands back and forth. He contemplates the catwalk and asks if that was all right. Sean answers, not even on a desert island. Girls just glide more. You gotta kind of let it flow. Topanga admits, that's right on the nose. Sean shrugs. Girls are my area. I like girls. Corey asks Sean to show him, so Sean does his own sassy glide, and Topanga and Corey realize what needs to happen. Sean repeatedly says, no, 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 no. And then we optical flip to the school. A rowdy guitar riff plays as Sean is peeking out into the hallway. We see he's wearing some dark eye makeup, paired with red lipstick and a brown wig with bangs. He looks a little apprehensive before stepping out in a miniskirt, gliding next to a very giddy Corey Matthews. Ryder, what do you remember about this scene?
I just remember the whole week. You know, it was like so much attention. Because, you know, you have to realize, like, it's written on the page that I'm supposed to
gorgeous.
Be gorgeous. Or that, it works in a way that it doesn't work for Corey. And, of course, it's easier to sort of figure out ways to make somebody unattractive than it is to make them actually attractive. And so, so I just remember it was so much energy put on, like, you know, I actually had tape on my face to, like, pull it back. Obviously, lots of makeup, the wig, and then the outfit that would work. I mean, I remember being stressed out.
I remember you being stressed out this week.
Yeah, I remember mostly being like, which is funny because when I watch the episode, I don't feel that stress, actually. I feel like I'm really happy with my performance.
It's a great performance.
I look at this and I go, this might be maybe the best I've done on Boy Meets World.
I agree,
it's not, 100%. Not because of the cross-dressing factor, but because the quick changes, especially like in this scene, and the way that you know when Sean is in character and when he's not. You know when to laugh with him or when to laugh at him. And like, I'm just like, I didn't realize how much I was threading this needle as an actor. And I look back on it, and I'm just like, wow, that was mercurial. Like I'm moving through like one look at the, and I was like, and then, you know, there's just a relaxed, like a confidence that I'm really impressed by in 17-year-old writer, where I'm just like, good job, dude. Yeah. Like, this is cool. Like, I don't know that many 17-year-olds who would have pulled this off. Like, I don't know. Like, so for one of the first times on this podcast, I'll say like, I'm very proud of
you. Should be. You're writer. Also playing it completely and totally straight.
Right, totally commit.
And so the comedy is just coming. You're not trying to hit any joke.
Right.
Which is what we do on this show. We're trying to hit jokes all the time. Right. The comedy is coming from the commitment of just playing this character.
Right.
And the comedy comes naturally from the situations that you're then in, which makes the laughs three times as sharp, in my opinion. Yeah, it's great.
When I watched the scene, I was like, because I guess over the years, I think the sort of popular conception of this episode, at least as it's been reflected back to me, is like, oh my gosh, you were hot. Like, you were actually, you know, and I looked at it and I was like, no, it still kind of looks like me. I got a big face. I got a big mouth.
I agree with you.
It feels very like, I look kind of, I don't know. I was just like this.
It's very interesting because when, you know, we had Lori Heaps on the show and Lori was talking about what an undertaking it was and, you know, finding the wigs and all of that. It is a hard job for the crew when in a script, no matter how realistic it is, it just says Sean is a gorgeous woman.
Right.
And then next to that, you know, Corey's a hideous woman. It's much easier to make somebody look ugly. You can add things and make them look disheveled and do all kinds of things. It is much harder to make you're a manly guy. You have stereotypically manly features.
Right.
To now suddenly with no plastic surgery, but just what you can have at your fingertips, sell you as a convincingly attractive feminine woman.
Very difficult.
Is hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I think like Cora is actually more successful because
it's allowed to find
a character. Right.
Yeah.
And you can tell that like, you know, obviously they figured out the hair and the thing and then Ben figured out an attitude and a way of walking and talking that matched the outfit and it becomes its own thing. And that's way more convincing than Sean as Veronica. Like Veronica to me always felt a little, I don't know, But I think the trick is the high boots and the short skirt, right? Like, we just have to make it sexy. We just have to make it like a fast girl. A typical boy meets, you know. So Veronica's dressed like...
Right.
Like a stripper, really, you know, or a porn star. Like, if she really...
But you know, so much of that is because of the colors they chose. Because I thought the same thing. I was looking at the black and the red, and I was like, they went for a very... look at me, va-va-voom, color combo.
Right.
And I wonder if that's because they were hoping that alone would add a sexual factor that maybe you in softer colors, maybe you looked manlier with more neutral colors or something. So
did you have to try on a whole bunch of looks and a whole bunch of outfits or was it kind of just like, this is what we're going with?
Like I said, I remember being stressed out. Like I wonder how much of that stress and anxiety was performative on my part though. You know, which is a little bit of a bummer to think about, but I think that I probably was like, wanted to make everybody sure that I was uncomfortable with having to be like a woman, you know, like, you know, because
I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? Like, I think a 17-year-old, as much as I can look back and say, I was confident in my acting and like in the beat to beat. I think there was also a part of me that, you know, wanted to make sure everybody knew that like, this isn't normal for me. I wouldn't typically just, you know, which is ridiculous. Like who gives a but you know, I was 17, whatever. And I was asked, and I was, you know, frankly, like I didn't get asked whether to do that. You know, you just get the script and you got to do it.
Right.
So I'm sure there was a little bit of like, can I pull this off? And that insecurity fed into, well, I shouldn't want to pull this off. Like I don't need to, you know, cause I'm such a guy, I'm such a dude. Right. I would never, you know, which, you know, but then I also kind of remember there was some acting
like there was some fun at like, oh, you know, this is a typical acting thing. Like you said, it goes back to Elizabethan tradition. You should be able to play anything and, you know, be able to switch.
Well, and I know without a shadow of a doubt, writer, young writer, modern day writer would have loved the idea of this message. Like the script's message.
Oh, sure.
You were hook, line, and sinker for this is a message that need to be told. Like women need, you know, this is so you would have loved the point behind it while also dealing with teenage ego stuff of but it makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, it's equivalent to having to be in your underwear.
Right. For exactly. A scene, you like know, a which suit. Is like the way we all felt about having to be in our bathing suits.
This is a great story. Yes, this could be good for the character or the storyline, but as the actor, I have to actually do it. Yeah.
Correct.
And that's what I remember feeling mostly with this episode was that anxiety of like, this is, I have to pull this off. I have to go through makeup for 4 hours. I have to try on, like you said, I don't remember, but I'm sure I tried on 40 different outfits before they were like, this is the right combination. Because it is, it's tricky. How do you sell it, but also make it obvious? And but anyway, going back, when I saw this scene, I was like, I don't, I'm not that convinced. And I'm also just, I don't think I'm that attractive, but whatever. It's funny. And the point is there. And, you know, I guess compared to Corey, it's great. You know,
Sean nervously asks Corey why everyone's staring at him. Corey admits, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but you're kind of a babe. Sean's excited to hear this. Corey even offers to carry his books. Sean's down. That's cool. They walk over to Topanga and she asks why Corey's carrying Sean's books. And he explains, we're trying to create the illusion that Sean's a girl. So I thought this would help. Topanga says he never carries her books, and Corey says, well, look at him, and sheepishly smiles. The inmates in the audience love it.
They did. Oh, they were very on board.
They are laughing, and Topanga eyes Corey up and down. Funny book I give.
It's such a, like, it's so interesting to see how much this was on the heels of an affair to forget.
Yes,
or an affair
exactly.
To remember. You know, it's like this sort of, and I wonder how long I'm going to really enjoy this. I'm enjoying this now, but like, I know we do the gay joke a lot, you know, like the Corey Sean, and it's like walking that line, you know, here it's very funny because it's like, you know, but I'm curious how many episodes in I'm going to be able to like, think this is great, but it's very funny now.
Yeah.
Corey covers, and look at you. You were just radiant today. Topanga, always the ally. Asks how it feels for Sean to be wearing pantyhose. He reminds her, it's not Sean. He needs a girl's name. Corey offers Janet, but Sean turns it down. Topanga senses there's more here. You've thought about this before, haven't you? Sean admits, a little. The name he likes is Veronica. Corey turns to Topanga in horror, but Topanga responds encouragingly. Veronica is a lovely name. Right then, Mr. Feeney walks up to the group. Good morning, Ms. Lawrence, Mr. Matthews, Mr. Hunter. And then he stops dead in his tracks. Feeney looks up to the sky and shakes his head in dismay. He turns to Veronica and smiles awkwardly. If there's anything you need to talk about, my door is always open. I'm not here to judge.
So good.
Now, I loved it, but I had a thought. Do you think it... I mean, there's two ways to look at it. You can never fool Feeney. He's going to, he'll always know no matter what. Mm-hmm. But the other way to look at it is that people would be able to recognize that it's Sean right away. Oh. So I didn't,
interesting. It should have come after somebody else.
Exactly.
You're right.
I thought the same thing. It shouldn't have started where the first person recognizes
him. Recognizing him. He's just so used to seeing the three of us together. He said the three names.
I read it as the Feeney always knows. Yeah.
That's what I got to, but I thought if it's
the sky and shakes his head.
It's brilliant. But if just one person first saw, like acknowledged that Veronica was Veronica before then Feeney comes in and says Sean Hunter, I don't know. I think it would have made it stronger because when the first person addresses Sean as Sean, my head instantly went to, oh, then the disguise is
it's
never going to work.
Everybody,
you know, everybody's going to know him.
I would love to see the script for this. Do you think you have a copy of Chicken?
I was just thinking, I'll look through everything.
Because
I want to see if I have it.
I'm curious about, I just want to know, and this is like the second or third time this has come up. I really want to know what the stage direction said. Like, what did it say for Bill? What did it say? Did Feeney stop, roll his eyes? Like, it's not rolling that, because like what Bill does is just like, a prayer to heaven? Like, what do you call that little, like, desperate, like, I can't believe I have to deal with this? It's so good. I would love to see how that was actually
If it was, because don't you remember Kevin Kelton saying that he one time put something in for a stage direction for Bill, and Bill was, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
but maybe that would have been a parenthetical, which is how to say your actual line. Right. This would have been a beat on the page within the action line. And I'm so curious what it said. Like, I just, because however, you know, I don't know. However, as a writer, I'm curious how, what it said, because it's so cool.
Yeah.
And then also as an actor, someone who appreciates Bill's acting, if it's not there, what, you know, what he brought to it as an actor? I'm so curious.
Yeah, it was great.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things: watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
So Sean clarifies, it's for an article we're writing. Feeney reminds them, I am not here to judge, and walks away. Corey notices their target, Gary, is approaching. Topanga says to him, Debbie said you two went out on Saturday. But Gary notices Veronica and is distracted.
His look, man. His ability with his eyes to just go, hey. Oh my God, but he
plays a great creep.
He plays a great creep.
Yep.
It's like he's locked on to the new girl.
Yep.
So good.
Hi there. I'm Gary. Corey excitedly introduces Veronica. Veronica Wozbojski. Gary kicks some game. I've never seen you before. You new in school? Veronica laughs. Yep, I'm just a whole new person. I do like your womanly voice, writer.
Yep.
It's not too overdone. Really?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I felt a little uncommitted. It's, like, I felt like I wasn't. No.
If it had been over the top, it wouldn't have been good. It's so
subtle.
Right. And just
just delicately feminine enough.
Enough, right.
That
I agree.
It works. I really think had it been over the top with the way you look, I also would have been like, nope, I can't buy it. Right. But it really worked. And I think the reason it worked for me is because of your voice. So I think it was a good choice. Gary offers to take her to Chubby's, tell her what teachers to avoid, all of that stuff. But then adds, I mean, unless your boyfriend already did that. Corey interrupts again. No, Gary, this one is definitely available. Veronica shoos him away. Corey, I can speak for myself. That'd be great. Topanga butts in. So Saturday, is that good for both of you? Sean reminds her under his breath, Saturday's my date night. Corey exclaims, it still is.
Yeah, and this is one of those moments where I was like, that's so...
Yeah.
Like, you just automatically you did a great you know job. Like the code switching that Sean is doing. Yeah,
absolutely. It's really well done.
I'm so curious, like going back just a second, I wonder where this episode fell in the right. I can't wait to talk to Steve Hibbert. Like, who came up with this? Like, why?
Yep.
Like, I wonder if they watched An Affair to Forget and were like, let's push it even further.
Right.
But, you know, like the way that, because I was reminded just right now when I'm doing the theme, the Veronica, it's very similar to the way I was like, Corey, you know, like laughing at the
Cinnabon, you're shy.
The shy, like, and so I wonder if that was the inspiration. Like the writers were like, oh, we could just push this even further into, that's funny.
Well, we can't wait to talk to Steve.
Can't wait to talk to Steve.
And then Veronica smiles at Gary and agrees to Saturday. Gary says he'll see her then and gives her a wink as he leaves. Corey and Topanga congratulate Sean. He's got a date. Sean's nervous. I have nothing to wear. And I love this. I love how now it's just so quickly all of the fears and all of the anxieties about being a woman, the insecurities just.
And all your mannerisms were perfect at the time. You were like fiddling with your fingers and it was great. Turn around it was great.
It's really well done.
Yep.
We go to a commercial break and then we come back at the Wilderness Store. It's now after hours. Eric and Lonnie, she's back in her crop top flannel that makes so much sense. They're practicing her approach with sitting.
So you can be warm, but show that belly button.
Exactly. Of course.
So your boobies are warm, but your belly button is cool.
Exactly.
And I've got the cool sleeves rolled up. I was like, wow, Eric looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Eric creates a scenario where he's a guy named Dave, and when Lonnie sees him at the club, she wants him. To avoid detection and stay with the hunting metaphor, she crouches down and walks slowly toward Eric, slyly placing herself right next to him at the bar. Eric tells her to make eye contact and smile, so she gives him a big grin and enthusiastically says, I want that one, and she pokes him on the nose. Eric admires her single-mindedness, but no. He says that if she gives a guy a compliment, he will be hers for the rest of her life.
Apparently.
In what world is it true of a man that if you give him a compliment, he will be loyal to you for the rest of his life?
Well, let's try it. Give me a compliment right now.
Will, you have the most gorgeous eyes.
I love you. My God, it works.
It works.
That's amazing.
I don't know about the loyalty, but I do think that like, when you say that like guys like to have their egos boosted.
Oh, sure.
Like,
that's sure.
More than, because the opposite, like with women, like the sort of pickup artist strategy is opposite, right?
Why'd you wear that jacket?
Right. The negging idea, right? Like that's the like traditional advice. If you want to get a guru, you got to, you know, and I think that's not true. Well, maybe it's, I don't know. Does it work the other way? You never hear about pickup artists from a female perspective. There must be some.
Yeah, because you don't need to be an artist. You walk up and you go, like, hey let's go. And
you wear a fleece crop top and
that's it. Or a leather jacket. We're done. Exactly.
Leather jacket. Yeah, though, I don't know. But I would assume, just based on my life experience, that, guys like compliments, right? They like being told, like, you're smart.
But the whole idea of, like, wow, you're smart, they'll talk to you that night. Sure. But then the minute somebody else gives them a compliment, they're going to be like, it's like, give us a compliment. We're yours for the rest of your life. It's like, what?
I always think of that amazing line. Is it from When Harry Met Sally, where he says, women need a reason to have sex, men just need a place. And I think that's true, basically.
But it's also like, what is her problem exactly? Like, what does she want? Because she doesn't want a man, that she wants a dude to hang out with, or she wants somebody to date?
I think she wants somebody to date.
But again,
would that be like really? Is she scaring the guys off by being too manly? Or just
there's a right level of manliness to be the perfect woman. She hasn't hit that yet.
Right.
I think it's also what they were trying to do was also talk where it's more about. I think they attempted to do more about city versus country.
Yes.
And really country where it's like, let's go hunting and eel grabbing.
Right.
You know, kind of thing.
Also like, I'm going to beat you in arm wrestling. I'm going to be a better shot than you. I'm going to wrestle eels. Like things where it's like, wow, you are really like the manliest bro I could ever hang out with.
Right.
And maybe.
What's interesting is the B storyline. What essentially they're saying, if you look at it this way, is that to Lonnie, gender doesn't matter at all. It's all blurred if you're hanging out and having a good time and doing what you love, where in the A storyline, gender was very, very important.
Yeah.
So it was kind of it was a weird balance between the two. Maybe you're right. Maybe that's why they did need the B storyline writers, because there is that kind of balance. But
yeah,
I just wanted to see
like
more
it's
of
a
your
counterpoint
stuff.
In some way, right? It feels like it's the reverse. Like she has to learn how to be a woman.
Right.
No, she has to learn how to think like a man.
Is that yes?
Is that's
to
the point.
Be more. Yeah, he's not trying to tell her to be more feminine.
Well, he is trying to tell her you're scaring them off, and the way you're scaring them off is by being more manly than they
than
are.
They are. Okay,
kind of, but he's not even. Yeah. So he's trying to put her in the mindset of like how a man perceives her. Or how a man,
which is
like
too manly. You're punching me and it hurts. And
your
idea of a good time for us is
and
hunting and wrestling eels, which maybe I would want to do with my bros, but isn't what I want to spend my time with a lady friend doing.
Right. But they easily could have taken this storyline and gone, we need to put you in a dress and you need to learn how to, you know,
which I'm glad they didn't do that.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I'm so glad they didn't go. It wasn't, Eric wasn't teaching her to be more feminine, right? It wasn't like, you need to be more of a girl.
Right.
It was just, you need
to
not be so much.
You need to wear more crop tops. She's already doing that.
Right. Your shirt's too big never came out of Eric's mouth.
Right.
But yeah, you could see they could have gone that route where it's like, well, we got to put you in a dress. It could have been that same thing. And thankfully, they didn't go that route.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah. You're right. Lonnie touches Eric's flannel. That's the nicest shirt. I'd love to get one for my brother, Buck. Who makes that? Eric tells her, some shirt guy. And Lonnie takes the liberty of checking the tag. She's all over him trying to find the label. And Eric is soaking in every minute. She stops herself and realizes, you know what I'm doing? Eric dreamily responds, just what God intended. Lonnie says, no, I'm being too friendly again. And you were just about to tell me that, weren't you? And the reason this part doesn't really work is that her previous friend over friendliness had nothing to do with being too physical.
No. And she's not scaring him away. She's actually drawing him
right.
in.
He's like,
so
ooh.
It's actually like, I know.
This part didn't really work. You were just about to tell me that, weren't you? Eric lies. Yes. Lonnie admits, I never would have thought that being friendly could drive people away. I guess friendliness is just different between men and women. Eric agrees and steps back a respectable distance, sticking out his hand for a handshake instead. She grabs his hand and politely says, my name is Lonnie Bowden, and I will do whatever I can not to physically invade your personal space. Perhaps we can discuss your career goals over a grape knee-high. Eric gives her a fake laugh and mutters, what have I done? And I like this part. I love the idea where if he could have set her up with somebody, if there was some sort of advice where now he was actually losing his chances with her, that part's great.
But instead, what they did was we never see her again.
Right, exactly.
So I do like to think that grape knee-high was a MASH reference, by the way, I'm hoping.
Oh, it has to be, because what is it?
Grape knee-high is a drink.
Okay.
Oh, you've never had grape knee-high?
No.
You know who would love grape knee-high? Is Ryder. Because it's a soda. It's like grape soda, but it almost has the same kind of backbite as that ginger beer that you like.
Oh.
So it's like a grape kind of, but yeah, it's what Radar
I know
drank.
It from Paper Moon. Eat your Coney Island and drink your knee high. You guys
really?
Seen Paper Moon, right?
No.
Please tell. Are you serious?
No.
It's like the greatest movie ever. Oh, man. Top five movie for Ryder. Please go
Slumber
see Paper
Party.
Moon. Yes. Oh, my God.
Okay.
You will love it. It's unbelievable.
I'll bring the knee high. I'll bring grape knee high.
Great. You'll bring the movie. Chubby's, the only place a date can happen. Veronica and Gary are sitting next to each other in a booth near the OJ jersey when Gary says, this has been a terrific evening and you are just great. Veronica
is
visibly nervous.
On the same side of the booth.
Oh,
you're committed. Again, I love how Sean is committed to this whole thing. It's great.
Yeah. Veronica is visibly nervous, but Gary continues, how is it that someone like you doesn't have a boyfriend? She laughs. I haven't really been looking for a boyfriend because I've just been going through a lot of changes. Gary assures her, anytime you want to talk, I'm here to listen. She thanks him, admiring his kindness, and
Seems as though he's developing a bit of a crush. Then she snaps out of it. I've got to have some food. Gary takes charge, calling
great
for their waitress.
Turn, by the way, Ryder. That beat. That is beat so real,
say,
and it was.
I get some food.
I get where, some food. It was.
I love
oh,
it. It's
great.
So,
it's very like I'm not quite. It's funny. It's just like I'm getting caught up in the moment with.
Yeah.
This guy,
yes, you're getting caught
and
up
I'm
in
like,
the
that's
moment.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great
and
turn.
And it's great because it's also I love that like your the Veronica / Sean thought process is like. Maybe I'm feeling faint. Maybe I need to eat something.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to eat something. It's just so funny. And then Corey bursts in from the kitchen, now wearing a curly wig and a cute waitress uniform. In a husky voice, she asks, "How you doing, honey?" Topanga's at a nearby table watching on and is speechless and bemused. Her eyes are popping out of her head.
And this is,
Veronica
I just wanted
whispers,
a little explanation. Like, what is Corey's plan here exactly?
I know. I think he wanted to be involved. Just to be involved. But you're right. There's no setup. Like, why was this necessary?
None.
I just
want
like one little like Sean to, I mean, I guess I do say like, Corey, what are you doing?
What are you
whatever?
Doing?
Yeah,
or something
when you
like
say, you're insane.
Right.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be great if he was like, this is my research. Like, I have to be here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, just some explanation of like, he's there to be undercover also to get the, or whatever. But instead, it's just like, and I guess they just were like, no, it's just too funny.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, I guess it is. But I
don't
know.
It should have been a side with Topanga. What are you doing? Research.
Right.
That's it.
Research.
Exactly.
That's
my job.
Yeah.
I'm the journalist. I'm the one who has to write the article. I might as well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because it is weird that Sean's doing all the undercover journalism and then
Corey's still gonna write the article.
So it'd be an easy thing to just rationalize like
you're
I
right.
had to go undercover as Cora in
now,
order to be I don't know.
It's possible they just figured that's obvious. Like we've already discussed this. The whole scene of them getting dressed in the women's clothes was all about I've got to do this for my research.
But then
I guess
Sean not knowing that he was gonna show up is weird. Like that,
right,
that
exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Like Sean and Topanga should be like, and here comes Corey in his
even at
outfit.
The end of the scene where you got the date,
right.
If there had just been a little bit, now we hatch our plan. Like where it's like,
and also like what happened between Corey dressing as a woman before and Corey dressing as a woman now?
That
like,
makes him think
there
feel
should have
confident.
Been a conversation of like, well, you can't be attractive enough to be the bait, but you can't get the bait. So you have to do something else in order to get this article. That's all it would have taken is like one conversation of like, we got to find a role. You know, you have to go undercover too. We'll figure it out. I don't know.
Or it's just Sean ending the last scene going, I can't do this alone.
I can't
it's like,
do
don't
this
worry,
alone.
You won't be alone. Yeah,
Done.
You won't be alone. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then me not being surprised that he's it's weird that I'm surprised, I guess.
That's the thing. If you weren't surprised, I would think all of that happened off screen and I buy it and I'm in.
Good timing, Corey. Thanks for your core rap.
Yeah.
Thanks
exactly.
for coming and rescuing me. Or, whatever.
Yeah.
So Veronica whispers, Corey, and he corrects her, Cora, I'll be your waitress this evening. Corey remarks, I come in here a lot. I've never seen you before. Cora snaps back, quit hitting on me. just so funny. She laughs, just kidding. It's my first night. She winks at Gary. Veronica shakes her head and says under her breath, you're insane. Cora asks to take their order, baby. Gary goes first. My usual, a double chili burger and one chocolate milkshake with two straws. Veronica says, I'll have the same. And a steak. Cora and Gary are surprised by this appetite.
Yeah, the association of like masculinity with meat is just such a...
Steak.
But the thing I like, it's not about masculinity. For me, it was all about Sean. He's
it's
not going to pass
meal.
Up a free meal.
It's a
he
free
wants,
meal.
He, yeah, it's it, to me, it was just like, this is what Sean would do.
No. I mean, I just know having been a vegetarian for so much, it was like, it was an immediate opportunity for people to question my masculinity.
Or your sexuality.
Or my sexuality, consistently.
Yeah, right.
Like, it was always like a... especially in the late 90s, early aughts, it was like immediately like, oh, well, you must be gay or you're turning into a woman or some joke or some teasing immediately followed the fact that you're a vegetarian.
But in this case, it does also work for Sean.
I thought
Sean
so too, yeah.
Goes
that's where
to,
I went.
That Sean, I mean, it totally works.
There
I see what
some
you're
truth
saying.
To increase testosterone because of meat consumption.
Meat consumption.
That is true. So, But it just struck me at this point. I was like, this is such a kind of... obvious easy joke, but
I thought of it as an easy Sean joke and I liked it.
I mean, that's where my head went too, was he wanted extra food. Like, I'm taking that home.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had the joke about you coming in when Corey and you were like, what is this? When he has the burger.
Right.
I was going to. And then it's cut in half and you want to pick it up and eat half of it. And it's like, yeah. To me, it works perfectly for Sean.
I like that take, but I think there's also this extra layer of like,
right.
Oh,
and
this
you
woman
have a personal bias about it because you had been through it in your life. So it struck you differently.
Cora has to comment on it. You got quite an appetite. Like, I don't know. Like, he's eating too much for a woman and he's eating not womanly food. That is the joke. That is part of the joke. I understand what you're saying, that Sean is poor and wants as much food as he can get out of this guy. But there's also another layer of like, that is not very seemly for being Veronica.
Sure. There's definitely commentary on the fact that women would probably not consume in one meal a steak plus a double chili cheeseburger.
Exactly.
100%. But when I felt like, there's the obvious joke, I actually thought that's the obvious Sean moment, which I thought was cute. It did not in any way make me think, ugh, stereotypical men eat and women need to eat a salad. I didn't think that. I thought cute that Sean is like, yeah, I got to have a steak. I'm at Chubby's and somebody else is paying. Great. So Corey and Gary are surprised by this appetite. Corey pinches Veronica's cheeks. Aren't you the voracious little eater? Cora walks away, waving and mouthing, hi, babe, to Topanga as she passes. Topanga stares back in awe with a huge smile on her face. Gary puts his arm around Veronica. Are you having a good time? She admits, a little trouble breathing. You're crowding me a bit. Gary insists, you're probably just tense. How about I rub your shoulders? She uncomfortably mentions, I didn't ask you to do that. Gary brushes it off. But doesn't it feel good? Veronica shoves him. You're not listening to me. Gary laughs. You're a strong one. Yeah, I play a little field hockey, she says. Gary mentions he knew that because the first thing he noticed were Veronica's legs. He slides his hand down her thigh and Veronica immediately jumps up. She yells, you just don't listen. You're too busy planning your next move to hear us say no. He pulls the same move Sean did earlier in the episode, not listening. What? Veronica grabs her purse and storms away. Cora stops her and asks, now in Corey's voice, what happened? Sean breaks character. He touched me on my knee. What makes him think that it's his knee? Topanga wonders, well, maybe you sent him a signal. And Sean argues, the only signal I sent him.
So great.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Between the three of us and like the way that we're able to have the, like, it's just believable. Yeah. And yet it's perfectly to the debate that started the episode. And it feels like Topanga and Sean are seeing each other's point. It's just great.
Yeah.
It's great.
And Topanga's really also challenging him in a really interesting way. Like, well, maybe you sent a signal. Like, just
tell that she doesn't. No, yeah,
of course
she's
not.
Like,
she's
that's
just
what
throwing
we hear
it out there
all the time.
Yep.
But she's not like accusatory. She's letting him draw it out very intelligently. Yep. So he has to come to his own conclusion.
Yep. It's great. It's great.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago, and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car. Backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Sean argues, the only signal I sent him was to stop it. Topanga points out, and he didn't listen. Sean explains, I'm not like that. And I never will be again.
Which right before also Garrett, a really nice little revision that Sean makes. It's like this micro, it's like, I'm not like that. And then realizing like, oh my God, I might have been without realizing.
Exactly.
I may have been like, I'm not all. And so he makes this sort of immediate adjustment.
Doesn't he say it twice, which I think is even better? Doesn't he say, I'm not like that? I'm not.
Yes.
I'll never be like that again. And it's the second I'm not, that just sold the whole thing for me, where it's like,
I know.
Now he's, first he just says it because he's, it's a knee-jerk reaction. Well, I'm not like that. And then it's trying to convince yourself.
Right.
And then it's the realization that maybe I was. And it all happens that fast.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah.
So well done.
The layers are
just
in one line of dialogue, you know, like on the page. That's only three sentences.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then right before Gary walks up, Sean wants to quit, but Corey reminds them they have an article to finish. Sean sighs, I should have worn a pantsuit. Which,
great.
Gosh, it's so great.
Yeah.
Then Gary arrives. Look, sorry I got a little aggressive. Nobody respects women more than me. Great.
I love that line.
Yeah, me
that
too.
Perfect, like, I love my mother.
Oh, yeah.
I have a daughter.
Guys.
I would never be like any guy ever says, well, I have a mom. I have shut up. That has nothing to do with how you treat women you're actually attracted to or in a relationship. Like, stop.
Yep.
Nobody respects women more than me. You forgive me? Cora speaks on her behalf. Of course she forgives you. You two are just adorable together. Gary extends an offer to Veronica. How about I teach you how to play foosball? She smirks. How about I teach you? She glides away and Gary laughs. You're right. They walk away and Cora starts to complain, pulling at her clothes. My hosiery is bunching.
We said that for the next 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
For the rest of our lives, we would say that. Veronica leads Gary to the foosball table and he gives a very simplified explanation of how to play the game. Veronica asks, like this? And effortlessly scores a goal.
Which is wrong, by the way. I don't think you're not allowed to spin.
Yeah.
You can't spin the handles.
No.
So,
that's playing foosball, absolutely wrong. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
So the fact that Sean's supposed to be good at it.
Right.
He's aggressive and fast and hard.
So right. I spin him.
Gary looks at her in awe. Kind of like that. Veronica jokes, I can go a little easier if you want. Gary brushes her off. Just take your next shot. He blocks her shot and she gives him admiration on the way he blocked it. He asks, oh, you like that? Let me show you how I did it. He walks over to Veronica, sliding his hand down her arms and positioning himself directly behind her to show her how to do it. He advises, what you need to have is a real light touch. Then he grabs her hips and Veronica shoves him off. Gary defends himself. I'm just showing you how to play the game. Veronica fights back. I know how to play the game. He sarcastically tells her, I could tell by the way you're dressed.
Ooh. Oh,
ho, ho, ho. Gary.
Veronica answers, I just wanted to look nice.
Gary
compliments her and grabs her shoulders. She reminds him not to touch her. Gary holds his hands up dramatically. Okay, don't like to be touched. Veronica's getting mad. Did it ever occur to you that I might be a nice girl?
No leather jacket.
I know. I don't like this one part of the writing.
Yeah.
that the implication is
nice
that
girls don't
nice girls don't want to ever make out or fool around on a first date. That part maybe could have, but it
but
was
also if you're not a nice girl, it's then okay to just go over and manhandle you. That's the other aspect.
Right, exactly.
Of that.
That either way, yeah. That the only reason you're not allowed to do this is because I'm a nice girl.
Right.
Yeah. Gary argues, what I thought was that you'd be into guys. But I guess you're not. I guess you prefer girls. Veronica responds, now in Sean's voice, as a matter of fact, I do. Gary's shocked. What? Sean reiterates, I said, as a matter of fact, and punches Gary directly in the face. Boom. I do.
One of the few moments of violence.
An actual punch, not a headlock or
a wrestle.
An actual punch.
Yep. You can bleed. Headlock.
Gary lays on the floor in
Speaking
pain.
Speaking of head off.
Yeah. Jerk store.
Gary lays on the floor in pain. What was that for? For every girl I've ever known. Then Cora walks over. Please pay at the register, honey. And tipping is not a city in China. She rips off the receipt and throws it onto Gary. Cora locks arms with Veronica. Come on, honey. We're out of here. Then Cora grabs Topanga's arms and the three of them walk out proudly. And I loved that little ending to our story.
But let's go. And then boom, the credits are there. Yeah. I was like, oh, I thought there was going to be more. I was hoping there was going to be more.
And then we're in the tag in the school hallway. The school newspaper's big headline is Chick Like Me. And above it is a picture of Veronica and Cora. Everyone is reading it, including Sean and Corey, who are surrounded by girls taking a look. Feeney waltzes up, applauding them. Seems the whole school is talking about it. And if I do say so myself, excellent article. Though he shakes his head, troubling photographs. Topanga and Debbie excitedly join them. Topanga is so proud of Corey. Corey shrugs. Well, I am a journalist, dagnabbit. Debbie then thanks him for what he did. Sean responds. Not necessary. I learned a lot. In fact, of all the guys around, I'd say I'm the world's most perfect date right now. Debbie adds.
By the way, Topanga gives Corey a lot of Sean came up with the idea and then actually
and then executed
went on
it.
The date.
Exactly.
Kind of interesting, like,
we have to keep the boy in the storyline. Topanga has to, but it's his.
He wrote the article.
The article.
So based on all your work.
The whole idea at the beginning of it was he should write something of substance. So
but
he
Sean
did.
Sean came up with
it. Sure, yeah. Sean. Yeah, okay,
I had
fine,
to convince
Sean.
Him to do it. And then like when he would, he couldn't do it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Debbie adds, of all the girls around, I could probably use a perfect date right now. So what'd you have in mind? Sean suggests we could start with an evening of good conversation. Debbie throws in, and a genuine connection with another human being. Sean says, I'm your boy. Debbie holds out her hand and Sean grabs it. They walk away happily together. The audience woos them loudly as Topanga and Corey watch the couple with smiles on their faces. Corey's face turns into a painful grimace as he scratches his pants. Topanga asks what's wrong and he says in his Cora voice, my hosiery is still bunching. And there you have it. There you go. I thought this was, like we said at the beginning, I think this was, while I was watching it, I was so enjoying it. Mm-hmm. I was enjoying the story. I was enjoying the relationships. I was enjoying the way it was written. Mm-hmm. You could play this episode right now and it would feel timely and relevant and smart and funny. Overall, really, really, really
season
enjoyed
four.
This episode.
Season four, just continuing one after another. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Pretty darn great. Well, thank you all for joining us for this episode of Pod Meets World. Our next episode recap will be season four, episode 16, A Long Walk to Pittsburgh, part one.
Wow.
Wow.
One after another.
Bangers.
Just bangers.
Yep. Oh my gosh. So as always, you can follow us on Instagram, Pod Meets World Show. You can send us your emails, podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. And we have merch.
My merch is bunching.
Podmeetsworldshow.com. Will, send us out.
We love you all. Pod dismissed.
Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production Danielle Romo. Producer and editor Tara Sudbach. Producer Maddie Moore. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon, and you can follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show or email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com.
When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat
Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler Elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through.
BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy.
Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.